I'm glad Doug led that song. It's probably my favorite hymn, but I have a hard time getting through it. Well, tonight we're going to talk about what we might call everyday hope, or our little hopes. Earlier today we talked about our big, big, big hope, but then there's a lot of other little things to look forward to, because if the only thing we had to look forward to was the hope of Christ's return, well, what do we do in the meantime? There's a lot of things to look forward to in life. Every day we can look forward to things God's going to do for us. We can pray with believing for the things he's promised and that we need in our lives and that we want to see happen in other people's lives. But then there's a lot of other things we just look forward to. Like an example I gave, I think, this morning. You may have, months ago, decided you wanted to come to camp. You couldn't pray for it to happen that day because there was a number of months in between. But you could certainly look forward to it. You could anticipate it. You could have that hope, that positive anticipation. And God wants us to have that positive anticipation in everything we do, looking to him. Often if people lose hope in life, in any area, they just get discouraged. And it's interesting, the word discourage. You think of the etymology of it, the word cor in Latin languages means heart. And dis is out, X. It's like getting your heart torn out. That's basically what the word discourage means. You lose heart. You lose your enthusiasm for life. You lose your zest for living because you don't have any positive vision for your life. Let's go to Psalm 33. God does not want us to be in a place where we have no positive vision. Psalm 33, verse 18. We need both. We need the big hope of looking forward to the return of the Lord, and we need a vision in our lives for how God can help us in all that we do. We all may have individual visions. We may have career goals or vacation goals or family goals or educational goals. Great things. And we should have positive expectations in whatever areas those are. And at the heart of all of them should be a confidence in God that he is going to bring them to pass. There's so many verses we're not going to cover tonight that you already know. Commit your ways unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not unto your own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And so much of the word deals with having a positive vision for your life and trusting God to bring it to pass. And we're going to read some other verses that say the same basic thing, but in a different way. And I'm glad God keep saying the same thing to us in different ways, because sooner or later it gets through. You know, I don't know about you, but I'm pretty thick. Sometimes I have to hear it like 14 different ways, six times each, and then finally I go, oh yeah, that's what he means. And I'm glad God does that. We'll read some verses tonight where it says basically the same thing in three different verses. We saw verses already today where faith, hope, and love appear several times. I think somebody counted 9 times in the epistles where faith, hope, and love show up together. Have you ever noticed in manifestation sometimes in fellowship you'll keep hearing pretty much the same thing? Now, it's not because God's running out of ideas and he doesn't have anything else to say. He'll keep telling you something till you get it, and then maybe he'll start telling you something else. But it's all to help us get a positive vision for our lives. You can never afford to get to the place where you're discouraged, you've lost heart, and you just can't see any way out of the mess you're in. You can't see any way forward for your life. Or you've tried everything and nothing works, so why bother? Which is what a lot of people do with either their whole life or various parts of their life. God doesn't want that for any of us. And he provides hope in our daily living, just like he provides the big hope of what happens when the Lord returns. We need both. We need both. Excuse me. Psalm 33, verse 18. Behold, the eye of the Lord is upon them that fear or reverence him, upon them that hope in his mercy. to deliver their soul from death and to keep them alive in famine. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. And this word hope can also be translated to wait or hope, expect or trust. We're not going to do too much of it tonight, bless you. But if you open your concordance and look up phrases that talk about waiting on the Lord, those are some of my favorite ones too, because the word wait is, in most of those verses, is translated from a Hebrew word that means to wait with expectation. Not just waiting because God's late and I'm twiddling my thumbs, waiting for him to show up. But just I'm praying and I know that God's going to come through for me, and I have great expectation, great hope, great positive anticipation of God being there when I need him. This is a similar word here. The eye of the Lord is upon them that hope in his mercy, or wait in his mercy, or expect his mercy, or trust in his mercy. Just that positive anticipation. It's funny to see what people will do with their minds when it comes to expectation. I just have to chuckle, because I, like many of you, have worked in a lot of places with a lot of people. And sometimes coworkers are very entertaining if you don't let them get to you. And some of the things they come up with are amazing. You know, I hate Mondays. Oh, God, another Monday. I mean, their anticipation is for a lousy day. And I'm just not going to take that anticipation. I'm going to have an anticipation, an outlook, an expectation, a hope for just a great Monday. And the more you can get your brain around that, the more you'll have great Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and heaven forbid, even Fridays. And it doesn't matter how grumpy the boss is, how stupid the projects are, how irritating your customers or clients are. It doesn't matter, because God can bless you. And therefore, you have a hope. You have a positive expectation. But your outlook on life really depends on you. Because it's like we said, it's all with the words. You know, Hezekiah and Rabshakeh and, you know, the word of the Lord. You know, there will always be words there to say that it's a lousy day, it's a cruddy project, they messed with us again, and gave us the grunt work, and they're out playing golf and having fun, and we got to think, or whatever it is in your particular job that there is to complain about. There's always something. And there's always that. And it's not just your job. No, it's mine and hers and everybody else's. That's the way the world is. It's the way life is. But at the same time, there are God's promises. So what are you going to do? Let those negative comments and other people's negative outlooks and the fact that their hope is for a lousy day and a cruddy week and next week will be worse because things always get worse. Or do you want to have the expectation that to heck with them? God will bless me. It's me and God. We're the dynamic duo. And I'm going to do my best and God will do the rest. So it's a matter of what you want to do with your expectation. What it says here, verse 22, his prayer is, let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us according as we hope in thee. Great stuff. Okay. Let's read another verse. How about chapter Psalm 42? Verse 2. As the heart, that's another term for a deer, as the heart panteth after, or the deer longs after the water brooks. I mean, deer, they're like any animal. They need water. As the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat night and day, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? See, I've been having a tough time. I've been bummed out. I've been miserable. And all my friends are saying, man, where's your God now, you Jesus freak? You know, why do you mess with all that pray? Oh, you prayed. Yeah, so what? Yeah. And sometimes people, I've had people come out and basically say that kind of thing, implying, why do you waste your time? Other people are more subtle about it. But I don't care. I pray and God takes care of me. I don't care what anybody thinks. I can't. You can't make me doubt him. You just got to get serious about that. Because people are going to try to make you doubt God's word. Sometimes it's very direct. Sometimes it's very subtle. And that's why we keep reading the word, why we keep encouraging one another, and why we keep putting our hope in God. That's where our positive anticipation is for every day. And it just takes mental discipline. I mean, anybody that's good at anything, it takes discipline. I mean, athletes that are good, they really, really work with not just their muscles and their body to, you know, hit the ball or throw the ball or kick the ball or whatever they do, but they've got to work with their mind to get their bodies to do that thing. And it takes mental discipline. Any of you that have ever worked hard and gotten good at a sport, you know that. Or music. A lot of you are wonderful musicians here. Or anything else you do in life. It takes mental focusing. And that's what it takes with us. We've just got to say, okay, there's 19 people telling me this is going to be a crappy week and we're all going to hate it. Yet God says I'm more than a conqueror, and be anxious for nothing. I'm going to be anxious for nothing. I'm going to believe when in a fix, turn to Philippians 4:6. And I'm going to be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And you know what will happen? The peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. And I'm going to do that. And if you decide you're going to do that, you will have a great week. Doesn't matter about all that stuff everybody's worried about. If it all falls apart, God will take care of you anyway. If the job, the company, and the clients all disappear, God will get you something else to do. Because God is bigger than all that. I mean, you still got to show up at work and do your job. I'm not saying everything should go poof. But you don't have to worry about it. You don't have to fear it. You don't have to have this anticipation that life is lousy because of anything or anyone. We can have a great positive anticipation in everything we do. Oh, where was I? I better keep reading the word here. We'll never get to that popcorn, which would be terrible. By the way, the McGarry's, you guys are doing popcorn tonight. All right. If there's no popcorn there, go after them. Mary, you didn't volunteer, so you're out of it. It's those guys. It's the guys. Okay. Okay. My soul thirsteth, verse 2, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, so I continually say to me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I give up. I just say, to heck with it. No, I pour out my soul in me. I pour out my soul to God. I go to God and say, God, I need help. And that's the other great thing to realize is you don't have to be the world's perfect believer or the most spiritual person. You just have to have an honest heart before God. It's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. You just have to keep going to God. God will meet you right where you are. A lot of times you come to a camp like this and you hear stories or somebody, you know, tells you about some great thing God did for them, which is very encouraging. But on the other hand, you could take it the other way and say, well, it's great God did that for them, but what about me? I'm just no good. I'm a spiritual wimp. It doesn't matter where you are spiritually or scripturally or anything else. God will meet you where you are and take you forward. I mean, you know people, you know good teachers that have done that. If a teacher has the time and the ability and the students willing to learn, a teacher will meet you where you are and help you go forward from there. Well, if a good teacher who loves you can do that, how much more God, our Heavenly Father, who knows us so much better and knows so much more, he'll meet you where you are. So don't worry about everybody else. You look to God, and you ask God to help you move forward in your life. And don't worry about, you know, becoming, you know, Jesus Christ or the Apostle Paul overnight. Take a step forward from where you are. Thank God for what you do know. Thank God for what you do understand. Thank God for what you can accomplish in your life with God's Word. And set a vision for yourself to keep growing. Have that hope, that positive expectation that you'll get closer to God and you'll be more effective living God's word. And God will help you. Because do you know God wants you to succeed more than you do? You parents. My guess is you have a vision for your kids, and you want them to succeed sometimes more than they do. Because you've lived longer, and you know some of the things it takes to accomplish certain things in life. And you want your kids to succeed. Well, what about God? He has a vision for our life. He wants to see us succeed. We're going to read a verse about that in a few minutes. He wants to see you succeed. He wants us to have hope. He wants us to have anticipation. He wants us to have the excitement of living every day, knowing that we trust him and knowing that he'll take care of us. Every one of us, each and every day. It's an exciting way to live. But we got to keep reading here. When I remember these things, verse 4, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted in me? This is what you ought to do. Why are you so bummed out, you nitwit? That's what he's saying to himself. He's saying, look, I'm here with the believers, we're praising God, but I'm still bummed out. Why are you doing that? And sometimes you got to do that. You got to look yourself in the eye and in the mirror and just give yourself a good talking to. Why are you doing it? Come on. Well, what's the answer? Hope thou in God. Have a little positive anticipation that God's going to come through for you. Don't get to where you have no hope. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill of Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. What part of your life does God have to do with? Your life. He is the God of our life. Whatever it is in your life you need help with. You know, sometimes we have really silly things we do and we don't want to tell God about them. Well, he knows. You're not hiding it from him. So ask him to help you with it, whatever it is. Sometimes you feel too numb to even bring it up to him. Well, he knows. So bring it up to him. Say, look, this is a mess. I can't figure it out. Give me a hand here. What should I do? Be praying. And then be listening to what he tells you. He'll help you with it. So it doesn't matter how big or how little the issue is in your life. God's got the answer, and he cares, and he wants to help you. Verse 9, I will say unto God my what? My rock. He's the solid thing in our life. Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? See, he got his theology a little goofed up here. He's having some problems, and he thinks God did it. But at least he's going to God to talk about it. Verse 10 is, with a sword in my bones, mine enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Sounds like Job's miserable comforters. You know, telling him how goofed up he is. Well, people are going to do that in your life. People, you can be trying your best to live God's word, and people can come up and tell you you're no good, or ask you questions implying you're no good, and you just got to draw nigh to God. Thank God when there's somebody there who loves you and believes in you and is encouraging you. That's great. But a lot of times in life, there's nobody like that. But God's still there. God's the one that's always there with you. So he's the one you draw nigh to. Verse 11, for the second time. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted within me? Why are you so bummed out, you nitwit? Here's the answer. Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. I'm going to hope in God. I'm going to praise him. Psalm 43. Judge me, O God, and plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. For thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? O send out thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill, into thy tabernacles. Then will I go into the altar of God, upon the God of my what? Exceeding joy. Yea, upon the harp will I praise thee, O my God. Now for the third time, why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted, upset within me? What's the answer? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Now here's one John shared with us this morning. That's okay. I got in two sections of scripture on his notes before he did, so he got in two on mine. Teamwork. That was great stuff he shared. It really blessed me. Psalm 71, verse 1. I don't think he covered all this, but a little bit of it. Psalm 71. In thee, O Lord. Psalm 71, verse 1. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion or put to shame. Deliver me in thy righteousness and cause me to escape. Incline thine ear unto me and save me. Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, out of the hand of the wicked, out of the hand of the unrighteous and cruel man. For thou art my hope, O Lord God. Thou art my trust from my youth, my positive anticipation every day. The reason I can have a positive attitude and walk around so blessed that people think I'm nuts. I remember a fellow student of mine in high school, she told me a couple of years after we were out of high school, she said, you look like you are on another planet when you're walking around the halls. You just seem so happy, and we were all weird. And you can do that if you just decide you're going to focus on God blessing you. I mean, you need to deal with the people around you and the situations, yes. But then you don't have to let that be your whole focus in life. We can focus on God. He's our hope. He is our hope. Verse 5, thou art my hope, thou art my trust from my youth. Verse 6, by thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall continually be of thee. I am as a wonder unto many, but thou art my strong refuge. Let my mouth be filled with thy praise and with thy honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. For mine enemies speak against me, and they that lay wait for my soul take counsel together. And look, what do they say? God hath forsaken him. Persecute and take him, for there's none to deliver him. Boy, that sounds like Rabshakeh and Sennacherib, doesn't it? Your God can't do anything for you. Give up. That's what they were saying about him. Verse 12. O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste for my help. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. What a statement. Adversaries to my soul. They're trying to tear my heart out. They're trying to discourage me. They're trying to get down to where I really live in my heart and take away my confidence in God. That's the one thing you can't let anybody take. You know, somebody may not return a book you lent them. Oh, well, buy another book. Or quit lending your books out or something. I mean, people may do a lot of things to you that are harmful. But don't let anybody ever touch your confidence in God. Your ability to hope in God and every day live knowing God will take care of you. Never let anybody touch that, because that's the place all your strength comes from. And never let anybody get that. I mean, I let people take advantage of me in lots of areas in life. I mean, you probably do too, because if you want to love people and you want to help people, they will take advantage of you at times. But it doesn't matter as long as they don't get the word out of your heart. Any way they take advantage of you, God can bless you and provide more. But you never let them get your soul. You never let them get the inner heart where you believe God. That's the one thing nobody ever messes with. That's the one thing, what does it say somewhere in the Word? Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's what we do. We just never let anybody do that. Because look what it says in verse 13. Let them be confounded and consumed that are adversaries to my soul. Let them be covered with reproach and dishonor that seek my hurt. But I will what? Hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. I will just have this positive attitude, this anticipation that God will be there every time I need him. This attitude that every time I pray, every time I ask God for help, he'll be there. And that's why it's hope. See, I don't know what I'm going to need next Tuesday at 3 p.m. So I'm not praying for it now. I don't know what I'll need. But I have this hope, this anticipation, this positive attitude that whatever I need, I'm going to ask God and he's going to be right there. Because he knows what I need. He can react rather more quickly than I can. Remember what we were reading earlier, that he's going to take every Christian that's ever lived and transform their bodies in the twinkling of an eye? That's pretty good ability. It's amazing. I mean, I have dealt in my secular job with people at NASA and the Air Force, you know, who'd send all kinds of things up into space and fly all kinds of fast aircraft. And, you know, it takes every bright mind in the world plus huge, huge government budgets to get a little probe to Mars or to get somebody on the moon, which we did 25 years ago. And we can do that. But it takes massive amounts of money and ability and national will and political support. And that's just to get a little probe up there to go around and pick some rocks up from Mars and send pictures back. How about creating Mars? How about creating the rest of the solar system? How about creating the sun so there's light on Mars so they can take a picture? How about creating the rest of the universe and the galaxy, which by gravitational forces keeps Mars in orbit? Mm-hmm. So it doesn't like crash into Pluto, which may or may not be a planet, depending on who you talk to. I mean, I'm glad we have scientists that can do that, because they do some cool stuff. And they are pushing the limits of technology, and I'm very respectful of what they do. But it's just not quite as good as what God can do. It's a slight notch down. Well, okay. So, you know, I mean, a lot of people go nuts, and, you know, they talk all negative about science and things. I don't at all. I have huge respect for science and engineering and this. Even the politicians that agree to spend the money to go there, I respect that. Because without them, the scientists wouldn't have the toys to play with to get up there. So I have no negative views of any of that. It's just there are people that will look at that and say, what do we need God for? We can go to Mars. Oh, wow. I mean, I'm glad they're looking at rocks on Mars. But when I'm having a problem with a coworker Tuesday morning, what good does that really do me? I don't know. Maybe there's some benefit I missed. But God will be there Tuesday morning when I'm having a hard time. And he will help me. And he will show me what to do. And if it's such a mess he can't help me fix it, he'll get me out and put me somewhere else. And that's why our hope is in God. Every day. Every day. And then we got the big hope to look forward to afterwards. Well, I better keep reading here or we'll never get our popcorn, which would be a tragedy. My hope, verse 14, by I will hope continually and yet will yet praise thee more and more. My mouth shall show forth thy righteousness and thy salvation all the day, for I know not the numbers thereof. That's interesting. I know not the limits thereof is another translation. I'm going to be talking about God's righteousness and salvation all day long because I don't know the limits. See, a lot of things we know the limits. You know, I know if I went hiking in the trails around here, I know the limits of how far and how high I could go before I would, you know, be looking for a place to sit down for a very long rest. I have a rough idea of what my limits are. And we have limits of other things. But when it comes to the limits of God's righteousness and salvation, we don't know. We have no idea how, and we can't conceive of how great and how powerful and how caring he is. Psalm 119, another wonderful verse John shared this morning. Psalm 119, verse 74. We've been in Psalm 119 a lot this week. They that reverence thee, those that respect thee, Psalm 119:74. Those that respect thee will be glad when they see me. So we read earlier about people who tried to talk them out of believing God. But there are a lot of people who do believe God. And those that reverence thee will be glad when they see me. Why? Because I have hoped in thy word. I put my positive anticipation, my expectation in God's word. That's our daily hope every day. Is expecting God's word to come to pass, having that anticipation that whatever we need, God will be there for us. That's the anticipation we have every day. And then we know at the end, you know, it'd be sort of like going out and, you know, playing a sports game and having the anticipation that you're going to make the goal or get the home run or make the touchdown. And then also realizing, boy, when it's all over, we got this big ice cream bash. So we're going to play our best, get all the points we can, try to win, and then at the end, whether we win or not, there's a dang good party. Well, that's sort of the way our lives are. Every day, we have the positive anticipation and expectation that God will bless us. And then at the end, whether we rise up and believe God and everything works in our lives, or whether we have some rough edges, doesn't matter. There's still a big party at the end. The return of the Lord. I used to get a kick out of it because some people, when I first began to learn God's word, would tell me things like, ah, Christianity, it's nothing but pie in the sky when you die. And I decided, yeah, it is a lot of pie in the sky when you die. Or when the Lord returns anyway, that's good. Why not? But it's also mirth on the earth from your rebirth.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. So Psalm 119, verse 74. They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word. Psalm 146, verse 5. See, one of the things you got to do at camp, and maybe you're already doing it, so keep it up. If you haven't thought about it, well, just get off with you and God and pray and just lift your whole life to God in prayer. Pick a few things that are particularly important to you as well and pray for them. And then pick one or two what I like to call stretch goals, things that you really believe are the will of God, but they're so far beyond anything you've ever achieved or had in your life that it just seems impossible. Like, why bother? Pray for it anyway. And picture that happening in your life. Pray, ask God to help you, and then be listening. Because as you're getting quiet and praying, if there's something you need to do or something you need to know, God will tell you. For it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He'll tell you. But you have to be going to him and asking him. God gave you freedom of will. He's not just going to dump stuff on your life. But if you go there and ask, and just be real honest with God about what you need and what you want, he'll help you. And those stretch goals will come to pass. Or God will show you why it's not such a good idea and show you something that's a better idea for your life. But God will get you what you need. It says it'll give you the desires of your heart. And if you think about it, heart is a little different than the mind. The mind is, you know, I got this thought and that thought. The heart says the stuff deep down inside you really want. And those things that are really deep-seated needs in your life, God is going to give those to you. It just may be a little different than the way you're thinking of it in your mind. You may be thinking, you may have a deep inner need for something, and you're thinking, boy, I want it met this way. But God may have another way to meet it that really is much healthier and better for you and will really actually give you what you need and fulfill that need in your heart. So just keep looking to God. Psalm 146, verse 5. Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in who? The Lord his God. That person's happy. But at any rate, I was saying, get some time away and pray. You and God. you just, and don't have a huge list. It's like to-do lists. You know, if you, I was talking to a couple of guys last night about this. If I have a list with 30 things on it, it's so discouraging, I just don't do anything. But if I pick two or three things that I got to do like today and put them on a little post-it note, I can handle those. And then when I'm done with that and throw the post-it note away, then I pick the next three priorities. That's just the way my mind works. If you can handle 30 things at once, God bless you. I'm going to, good, I'll give you projects. You can help. But I need to have a couple of things to focus on. The same way with my prayer life. Sometimes I will do two things. I will lift my whole life to God in prayer. It's everything. Here, have the whole thing. But then I'll pick out a few, three or four things that are really sort of top priority and pray for those. And then I always throw in a stretch goal. Something I really want, but it's so far beyond what I could ever imagine happening. I'm a little embarrassed to even ask for it. But I believe it's right, and I do. And I have had some of those things come to pass much more quickly than I ever imagined, because I just had the nerve to ask. And I had the nerve to listen to God when he gave me some advice about how to get there, and then do it. So it's a great thing. And God will. But you've got to take that time to do that yourself. It's great to be around a lot of other enthusiastic believers and people that love you. That is wonderful. That's how the body of Christ is supposed to work. But at some point, you've got to sit down and spend some time with just you and God and pray and get yourself focused on having your anticipation, your expectation on God. And again, if you're already doing that, keep it up. If it's something you haven't challenged yourself to do, do it. And it doesn't have to be this big thing with angels and the northern lights and Lieutenant O'Hara and sorry for you Star Trek people. It doesn't have to be all that. It's just you sitting down and quietly. I mean, I've gotten to where that's my favorite time of the day. I just love to just sit and pray. My family probably thinks I've gone catatonic staring out the window, but I just like to pray and get quiet before God. And you know, once I get started, I don't want to stop. But it's like anything. It just takes working that in your life. And then your whole expectation. And some people do better doing that kind of thing in the morning. Some people do better before they go to bed at night. It doesn't matter when you do it. I like it in the morning because it gets my brain in the right, sort of unfrozen for the day. So instead of walking out the door all scared and worried about what I have to do, I walk out the door just lighthearted and happy, knowing God's going to take care of me. So what if there's all those grumpy people who told me, you know, I'm going to be toast today? I don't care. God said he's going to take care of me. What's it say somewhere? You know, the Lord is my helper. What can man do unto me? It's true. Well, I'm rambling again, but I better. Maybe I'm rambling by the Spirit. I'm not sure, but we better keep reading here. Psalm 147, verse 11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that reverence him, respect him, in those that hope in his mercy. See, God takes pleasure in those that have respect for him. You see, a lot of God's word is really not that complicated. You don't have to be super spiritual G.I. Joe. You just have to be a person that loves God and pours your heart out before God, asks him for help, and tries to live his word. I mean, we can all do this. We can all do this. Start with what you know and grow from there. Because it doesn't matter how much of God's word you know or don't know. It's really a matter of what you do with it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can know two verses, but if you believe them and live them, you'll do better than somebody that has Ephesians memorized backwards, but is so distracted with things in the world, he never takes time to go pray and ask God for stuff. So if you have Ephesians memorized backwards, hallelujah. Try it forwards. Okay, Isaiah 47:11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that reverence him. Did I say Isaiah? Oh, am I getting you goofed up? No, I'm still in Psalm 147. I'm sorry. I better be careful. See, if I teach longer sessions, I give the students a copy of my notes just for things like this, so they all have the same notes. Sorry about that. Psalm 147:11. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that reverence him, in those that hope in his mercy. Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10 and verse 28. Bless you. The hope of the righteous. Here, Mary, have some of my water. I have plenty. Help yourself. Matter of fact, you can keep it. I probably don't need any more. You're welcome. Proverbs 10:28. The hope of the righteous, the expectation of the righteous shall be what? Gladness. We're righteous before God. Our expectation should be gladness. You should expect to be glad. And now, it's sort of easy to expect to be glad at camp. Everybody likes you. The food's really good. The weather's wonderful. There's popcorn. I mean, what's not to like? But, well, you just got to work with your brain so your expectation for your whole year is gladness. Because God's going to give you gladness. You know, I mean, your boss will still be your boss. Your neighbors will still be your neighbors. But God will give you gladness one way or another. The hope of the righteous shall be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked shall what? Perish. We don't want that. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Here's an interesting verse. Proverbs 13, verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick. If you really have great positive anticipation, then you don't get it. Oh, you're just, it's discouraging. But when the desire cometh, it's a tree of life. You're just so blessed that you finally got what you were hoping for. Well, that's why we keep our hope in God. Because God's the one that can always come through for us. And if he can't take care of us one way, he'll take care of us another way. That's why we don't limit God. We may have great positive anticipation and really want something or something with a person to happen, but it doesn't. Because other people's freedom of will is involved or other circumstances are involved. But that doesn't mean God can't take care of you. He'll take care of you a different way. So with our hope in God, our hopes won't be deferred. Ecclesiastes 9. Ecclesiastes, Song, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes. Chapter 9. Verse 4, for to him that is joined to all the living, there is what? Hope. As long as you're still breathing, there's hope. You can have positive anticipation if you want. Actually, this is interesting. Let's go back to verse 1, Ecclesiastes 9. I wasn't going to read this, but it looks pretty cool. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that is before them. All things come alike to all. There is one event to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good, to the clean, to the unclean, to him that sacrifices, to him that sacrifices not, as is the good, so is the sinner, and he that sweareth, as he that feareth an oath. This is an evil among all things that are done under the sun, that there is one event unto all, yea, also the hearts of the sons of men is full of evil, and madness is in their heart while they live, and after that they go to what? The dead. I wanted to read that for the people that say you're not going to die. The Lord returns. Because his point is, everybody's going to die. And if the Lord tarries, we will die. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is what? Hope. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. I love that. It's true. Usually a lion would have no problem beating a dog. Even a small lion and a large dog, the lion would still win. Unless the lion's dead. then the dog has a distinct advantage. Verse 5, for the living know that they shall die. Boy, isn't that pretty clear? You know, so people who say things, two things you can count on, death and taxes, well, at least the death part's in the Bible. The taxes, well, take that up with your congressman. The living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. Neither have they any mortal reward for the memory, or their memory is forgotten. Also, their love, their hatred, their envy is now perished. Neither have they any more portion forever in anything that's done under the sun, anything on this earth. There'll be a new heaven and earth. They'll be there. But the verse really to get at was, to him that is joined to all living, there's hope. So if you get to the place where you're discouraged, you think there's no hope for your life, you have no positive vision, well, you do, as long as you're breathing. So get over it. And get over yourself and start looking to God for some help. Because you're not the only one with problems. You're not the only one that's confused, discouraged, or having a tough time. Welcome to life. Welcome to the crooked and perverse generation in which we live, where the devil's the god of this world, and things are screwed up. It's been that way ever since around Genesis, what, 3:5 or something? This is nothing new. So you can either let it get to you, or you can decide to put your hope in God and just get really focused on expecting him to take care of you and then biting the bullet and doing what it takes. You know, it's rare that God will just dump everything on you and everything comes free and easy. It takes work. It takes discipline. It takes dealing with challenges. It takes willing to not give in when stuff gets a little tough. What's it say somewhere in Proverbs? If thou faintest in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. Everybody's got problems. But God's got answers to those problems. And if we're willing to go to him with positive anticipation, do what his word says, listen when he talks to you, and do what he tells you, no matter how goofy it was. I remember one time I was just about to go postal and just take out my whole floor at work. Everybody was... they were... figuratively speaking, I was not happy with them. So I prayed, and you know what God said? Walk in love. I thought, I don't want to love those people. But I decided to. I decided to go into work and start praying for people, being nice to them, helping them. And you know, it changed in like 2 days. What went from the worst environment I can ever remember working in turned into a great place in a matter of about 2 days. Now, that was the revelation to me at that time. And it was pretty darn simple. If I'd been thinking about what the word said and just living love like it said, wouldn't have gotten in the mess. But I wasn't that smart. But that's just one example. We've all got stories like that where we were in a mess and we prayed and God took care of us. But the point is, God will take care of you. So don't give in to discouragement. You decide what kind of year you're going to have. You decide to put your hope in God and expect him to bless you. You decide to take everything to God in prayer and then listen and do what he tells you. And if he doesn't tell you anything specific, that's okay. You got the written word. This works every day. If he gives you revelation, that's for that day, for you. It's a great thing, but it takes mental discipline. It takes deciding, I'm not going to go along with the crowd. I'm not going to wallow in self-pity. And you see, each of us has areas where we're really good at living and believing God's word, and each has areas where we're lousy and where we easily get tricked and where we easily give in and where we don't put down our foot and stick with God's word. Keep going in the areas where you're strong. And in the areas where you're weak, don't give up. Ask God to help you and just have the nerve, the guts, the determination to go to God. Have that positive anticipation that he'll help you. Listen to him, do what he says, and get through it. Because God will not let you down. But he depends on your freedom of will to ask. Ask and it shall be given you. Seek and ye shall find. He wants us to ask. Even though he knows what we need, he wants us to actively ask for help. Okay, a couple more here to wrap them all up. Jeremiah 17:17. But the pep talk I'm giving you is the same one I give myself. You know, it's the same one I give myself. Really, I do. Sometimes I do fine. Other times I get all goofed up and confused and discouraged, and I just sort of slap myself in the face spiritually and say, you dummy. Want a fix? Turn to Philippians 4:6. Or whatever other verse really clicks. That's one of my favorite, because I tend to get myself in messes and think, well, this is one... it's a mess. And then I go, wait a minute. That verse applies here too, even in this mess. And then the minute I quit dwelling on the problem and start praying and asking God for help, things start to turn around. Sometimes they turn around in 10 seconds. Sometimes it takes 10 weeks or 10 months. But if you don't give in to discouragement and despair and instead go to God for help, they will turn around. Depends on what kind of anticipation you want to have. What kind of vision do you want to have for yourself? Jeremiah 17:17. Be not a terror unto me. Thou art my hope in the day of evil. Cool. I was actually going to read verse 7, but that's a cool one. God ought to be our hope in the day of evil. Verse 7 is the one I meant to read. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope the Lord is. And this is a word that again means trust or confidence or refuge. God is your true refuge. He's the one that's always there with everything you need. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose refuge the Lord is. Now here's a great one. This is a verse I really hadn't seen until just a couple years ago. It's been a very favorite of mine ever since. And I'm sure if you've read it, it's probably a favorite of yours too. Jeremiah. I can read my notes. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. Great one, huh? Actually, I was driving through Washington, D.C., and I think this verse was on a huge banner outside of Christian Science Church, a block from the White House. And I thought, that is cool. They may be a little nutty in their theology, but that's a good verse. Thank God for that. Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil. To give you an expected end. Or the New Revised Standard Version says, to give you a future and a hope. Or a future with hope. God wants to give us a future and a hope. You may at times in your life feel you don't have a future. You don't have a hope. You have nothing to look forward to. Well, God has a future and a hope for you. He sees your life bigger than you do. He sees you blessed and thankful and successful and prosperous and blessing others. God wants you to succeed. God doesn't have that many people that know much of his word, believe a lot of his word, and want to help others with it. You are a precious commodity. You are a valuable resource. God wants to see you blessed, and he wants to see you bless others, and he will help you. He has a future and a hope for you. Look at verse 12. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go and pray unto me, and I will what? Hearken unto you. I will listen. And you shall seek me, and what? Find me, when you shall search for me, what? With all your heart. Even in the Old Testament, when they not only weren't born again, 99.9% of them didn't even have the Spirit of God upon them. Yet, what God said was, you pray to me, call upon me, and I'll listen. And come seek for me, and you'll find me. I'm not hiding, says God. I'm here. All you have to do is search for him with your whole heart. Just honestly go to God with the needs and concerns on your heart. Honestly go to God. He'll be there for you. He'll be there for you. It doesn't matter how challenging your situation is or how easy your situation is. Doesn't matter how much you've already been praying and looking at God or how little you have. It doesn't matter. Start where you are. I've often told the story about when I was young driving through Missouri, and before they, if you can remember a time without Interstate 80, it's true, there wasn't one there. Or was it 70? I don't know. But it wasn't there, whatever it was. And we stopped at this little cafe, and there was this placard above the soda fountain that said, "Everyone who is here today got here by starting from where he was." And I thought, that is the deepest thing I've ever read. Because I don't know any, even today, I don't know anybody that wants to start from where they are. They want to start from where somebody else is. If I had what that person had, oh boy, I would just be effective. Or if I had the confidence she's got, well, you don't. You're you. You got what you have. And you have a lot of abilities and qualities nobody else has. And those other qualities you have that you would like to have, ask God for them. Start building them in your life. I read a great line in a newspaper about 2 years ago, the Washington Post of all places. It said, it was this long story. I think it was some leader in the black community who was talking about the pros and cons of various things that had happened in the black freedom movement through the decades. And he concluded it by basically saying, quit waiting for somebody to solve your problems. He said, you become the leader you're looking for. That was a great line. You're looking for somebody to lead the charge. Well, you become that person. You're looking for somebody to really help you with your challenges in life. You become that person. You go to God, you look in the Word, and you become that person. Now, that's not the scriptures I'm reading for you. It's just something I read in the newspaper. But it reminds me of what it says right here. I mean, this is the Word of God here. Let me read that for you again. Verse 13, you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with your whole heart. You don't have to wait for me. You don't have to wait for your power group leader to say, it's okay, you can do that. No, it's there. We can all do that. And I know that's why you're at camp. And I know that's why you're here. Because you want to understand God's Word and live God's Word better. I do too. And these are the keys and truths we all need to do that. And how great we're at a place where we're praying for one another, we're loving one another, we're encouraging one another. But just remember that no matter how much we do that as a group, we each individually have the responsibility as a member of the body of Christ. We each have direct access to God ourselves. So each of you, go to God. Seek Him with all your heart. You'll find Him. Pour out your heart before you. He will listen to you. It's not just a few spiritual people in the corner that get all the prayers answered. No. God, we all have equal access to God. And one to close, Jonah chapter 2. Jonah was a wonderful man who walked for God but was also very patriotic. God told him to go to Nineveh. Nineveh was one of the capital cities of the Assyrians. Remember Sennacherib and those guys? It was one of their capital cities. And he knew that if he went there and preached God's word and they believed him, God would help the Assyrians, because he knew God was that merciful and gracious. And he didn't want the Assyrians to succeed, because they were big and they were mean. So when God told him to go to Nineveh, he got in a boat going to Spain. And there was a big storm, and the boat started to sink. And the captain of the boat came down and said, okay, which one of you offended your God and brought this storm on? And Jonah said, me. He said, if you throw me overboard, the storm will stop. And they thought, well, if your God was so mad at what you did that he caused this storm, what's he going to do if we throw you overboard? Yeah. We don't want to do that. But finally, the storm got worse, and the boat was rocking more and more, and they were falling overboard, and they said, okay, we'll throw you overboard. So they throw him overboard, storm ends. And a large fish swallows him up, takes him to Nineveh, spits him out on the shore. He gets the point, well, maybe I ought to go to Nineveh. And you can read the rest of the book of Jonah. But when he's in the fish, while he's still alive, because it's very likely he died, because as Jonah was 3 days in the fish's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the heart of the earth. But before he died, and then it's likely he died, and God raised him from the dead, unless it was some incredible fish, you know, with like a little bachelor pad apartment there or something. But before he died in the fish, he said, Jonah 2, verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, that won't work. Oh, I'm in Amos. Sorry. Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. Jonah 2, verse 7. Here we are in the fish. This is better. When my soul fainted within me, and in the New Living Translation it says, when I had lost hope. I'd lost hope. I had no positive anticipation. I didn't see any way forward. I had just been swallowed by a fish. After disobeying the word of the Lord, I thought, this is it. I am toast. I am so toasted. I am crispy critters. I am fish bait. I am fish bait. Yeah, literally. It says, now I know what those minnows feel like when I go in the worms. When my soul fainted within me, when I had lost hope, I remembered the Lord. And my prayer came in into thine holy temple. And there will be days in your life where you will lose hope, where you will be up against such challenges you are discouraged. And what you have to do at those times is remember the Lord. Adversity will either take you away from God or push you to draw closer to God. We should do two things. First of all, so focus on God and so build our positive anticipation in God that we don't get discouraged. But being human and being living in the world we live in, there will be days where you will either get discouraged or be tempted to be. But do not lose hope. Remember the Lord. Look to God. Set a vision for your life looking to God, a positive anticipation of daily living. Because not only do we have the big, huge, tremendous, magnificent hope of Christ's return, but every day we can have positive anticipation expecting God to bless us in all that we do. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful saints. I thank you for their great love for you. I thank you for how much they turn to you every day and how much they rely on you. And may you bless them abundantly in the time they have at camp, and may you help them develop a vision for their lives, a positive anticipation of hope for the days and weeks and months and years of their life after this camp. May they just make a decision today to never give in to despair, but instead to turn to you with all their hearts, knowing that you will listen, that they will find your help in their lives, and that they will be blessed abundantly in all that they do. And I thank you for this and your wonderful love in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you. Bless you.